This is Near Enough to Hell, a Ghost of El Paso story, part 9. We're down B this week, so we are going to have Graves off doing who knows what. I guess we'll find out next time. Yes, I know. Very shocking, Wes. Most shocking indeed. But we're going to pick up and resume. Can you give us another one? One more, maybe just like, but like, think more butterfly when you do this one. You know, like a butterfly? Brilliant. Got it. Anyway. So it's one of the weirdest directions I've ever heard in my life. Anyway, yeah, we're gonna pick up where we left off, which is we're in the middle of a day phase with the Corset and the Last Rite of Blackheart Vermilion are our currently active threats. The Last Rite of Blackheart Vermilion, I will remind you, is on a bit of a timer. That one has only a few night phases until something happens. I believe we're going into the second night phase on that timer. Yes. Gotcha. I think it's after three that something happens, but I'll double check the sheet. The Corset, however, is our newest threat. The series of supernatural murders occurring at the Red Rock Cantina and Dance Hall that have been covered up and brought to the Vigilance Committee by its owners, Diamond Dave and Lola Navis, who believe, well, not even believe, who know. They are caused by this corset that is in their possession that they have not been able to get rid of. These murders are currently only known to you, and they very much want to keep it that way for both business and the safety of their customers and employees. That has two questions on it. You have collected no clues for it so far. Whereas Last Rite of Blackheart Vermilion are. Question is a complexity 8. You have collected 5, so you're getting there. You're able to answer it now, but I figure you're going to get a few more. But we're going to pick up, I think, immediately where we left off, which is to say, when the marshal Andrew Harrington returned to his office, intending to speak with Del Sol, upon entering, noticed that the cell, that the that the that the prisoner, or you know. The prisoner, air quotes, had a entirely different body language, more rigid, stoic, glancing off to the side of the room when Marshal Harrington heard movement and waiting for him to arrive was an aristocratic woman of copper with a coppery skin. Oh.
You cut out there.
I did. Well, that was. Oh, strange. My internet cut out for a minute. Where did I cut out?
You started talking about like, oh yeah, that you went to see Del Sol, and I was like, oh yeah, the cellmate, and then you cut out.
Okay, good to know. Yes, you went to go see the cellmate, Del Sol, but upon arriving at your office, you noticed that Del Sol's body language was notably different, more rigid, more stoic expression on his face as he was glaring off into the corner of the room, where waiting for you was an aristocratically dressed woman with smooth coppery skin and a silver ankh hanging around her neck, who addressed you as the marshal, and introduced herself, by standing, and she said to you, "I am Lady Antonia, Eurydice Bathsheba Hargrave Steele, and I have traveled quite a distance to discuss many interesting matters."
Huh. Lots of people are coming into town as of late. What brings you to El Paso?
Now, I will ask you first, Chaotic. Because last session you did mention that you had a thought and that there was a reaction Andrew Harrington was having to hearing her name. And I'd like you to tell us about that for a second.
It's been a while since like the name Hargrave came up. Less about a person and more about a place. It's probably one of the oldest places in London, honestly speaking. But they are a bit of a ruthless bunch, often trying to dig up dirt on things that are better left unsaid and causing more harm in the long term rather than trying to protect London as their sort of quote unquote mission statement is. They are there to protect the normalcy rather than protecting the individuals. And well, now they've come to El Paso. Wonder what they think of El Paso's lack of normalcy is.
Wes, your expression is fascinating right now. Want to share with the group?
No, but there's something going on here. Keep your secrets then.
To answer your question, though, Lady Antonia responds, saying, "Well, I'm here for many interesting matters, as I've established, not the least of which is this wounded knight I have heard about in my line of work, but also additionally some other matters that you'll find more pertinent, I'm sure. This wounded knight business, though, that you have here in your community is completely fascinating. You see, I have a keen interest in all matters related to the supernatural, and I even started an informal paranormal research group in London back in, well, let's just say it was a number of years ago. This corset that you've been dealing with, yes, I know it. I've actually been tracking its movements for some time. Coincidentally, it led me here. At a confluence of multiple interesting factors. It might surprise you to learn, Marshall, that there are a number of artifacts just like it all over the world."
Honestly, that really doesn't surprise me. I don't think El Paso is unique by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, it certainly is unique. Don't get me wrong, Marshall Harrington. Every place such as this is unique in one or more ways. It's just that where there is overlap, there tends to be, well, the need for people like me to come in and provide expertise. People in my circle call these things objects of power.
Oop.
Pardon?
I'm just thinking of just the sort of slang that you would call it. Sort of, I know, like with organizations, they like to bunch up the words and whatnot. Sort of like the Federal Bureau of Investigation,
That
FBI.
doesn't exist.
Oh, never
It's okay.
mind. Back
It's
up.
okay. You're good.
I don't know. This.
Fun history
Oh,
factoid
oh.
for everyone watching. Before, I believe, like the mid 20th century, it was just the Bureau of Investigation. So people just called it the Bureau. Yeah, fun factoid for you.
You know what? Never mind.
You know, you're good. Yeah. She says, "I don't see a reason why to refer to them in the short form. We typically refer to them as objects of power or artifacts or simply. Well, I don't. Oop." She kind of like quirks a brow at you. I don't think that is the most pressing of matters on hand, Marshall Harrington."
Well, it's just more or less trying to figure out sort of what sort of business that you really have coming here now. It just, of course, it seems to be more present under the Wounded Knights. And as currently, like, we have multiple experts here within town, so I'm not sure what you would offer in particular.
She turns around to delicately grab the cup of tea she was sipping from, waiting for your arrival, which she slowly raises it to her lips and sips from it. Her eyes flick up to the ceiling, and you can kind of see that she's running through thoughts, mentally just mulling over things. Like as the tea washes over her tongue, she's churning some sort of very deeply reflective retort, but there's a patience in her presence where it doesn't. This you get the strike the idea. This is not a woman who, like, if she had a witty comment to make, but like waited 5 minutes to make it, it wouldn't feel too late from her. It would be like she never misses the window because she always says what she needs to exactly when she wants to. And so she mulls over this for a moment where she says, "I do not doubt the capability of your local experts on these matters. Indeed, it is not a singular field that can easily be defined or researched. While I've been looking into the paranormal for a great long time, I understand that sometimes tradition butts against innovation. I came here to provide my resources and my insight, as well as to ensure that this object of power does not fall into the wrong hands and does not cause, well, havoc, chaos. This Wounded Knight business, no doubt this corset is in some way affected, but I would not say that it is entirely tied to it. I believe that this corset is a standalone entity, an object of power, as I have mentioned, that this confluence of supernatural forces, given your placement, is exacerbating the issue. I am here because of my own curiosity, but I will say this: if you do not want my help and see me as a trespass, I do not intend to insert myself into your dealings. I had come here with the intention of making introductions and perhaps seeing some sort of agreement to work together, being beneficial to both of our interests. But if that does not suit you, Marshal, I shall happily see myself back to my hotel and carry out my business as I see fit, while attempting not to step on your toes. And I should hope that such an effort would be reciprocated.
Yes. I know a few things here and there. Just the Wounded Knight is not my first rodeo into supernatural. But here we have a very different approach to things. I think all I ask of is compassion towards those who might be a little bit outside of your purview.
She cocks her head slightly, that eyebrow quirking once again. She doesn't comment on that further, but her expression reads as not fully understanding what you're getting at, but won't press the issue for now. She does say, "Well, I won't linger. I had hoped to catch you here, but decided to make myself comfortable. And there is more tea that I have left behind. It's not often that I find marshals in these American towns who hail from more distant shores. You are from London, Mr. Harrington?"
Yes, I am.
Well, perhaps then you can help me understand this new world a little more. But for now, I shall see myself out. You can find me at my accommodations. I've left the information on the note on your desk, everything that you might need with which to contact me, as well as a list of requests if we're going to work together.
All right, I shall take a look at
A pleasure, Marshal. And Lady Antonia, like, nods her head slightly and begins to walk out. And as soon as she's out the door, there's a beat, a pause, a moment of absolute silence, and then like with the snap of a finger, Del Sol's body language shifts completely back to what you normally see him, and he goes, "Oh, Marshall, I must be deep in my cups because I did not see you come in. What can I do for you?" We're going to cut away for now.
Wes is making all sorts of
All
faces.
sorts of faces over there. Wes is losing their goddamn mind. You're muted, my guy. We can't hear you freaking out. Let's cut away to check in with both Mother Ruth and Arkansas and hear what the two of you are doing during the rest of the day and the later afternoon.
I'm going to take the clue that that Mother Ruth found and go to that secondhand store that may sell stolen
That's
items.
right. Yeah, that note that they found about the fence. Yeah, absolutely. And Mother Ruth, what are you up to?
I'm gonna take the hit of everything that happened with Arkansas in that past little bit of just being like, you know what? I've done my part. I've contributed to this, but this seems like Arkansas just needs to have his moment. So I'm going to go ahead and give him his moment. And we're going to go check in on the corset.
Very good. Before we do that though, Wes, last session you did mark the moss-covered gate for Mother Ruth, which
Yeah.
is a scene we have to narrate. Now, do you want to narrate that now, or do you want to wait for like the dusk phase, what we'll be going into to kind of narrate that scene?
I'll wait for the dusk phase.
Very good. All right, cool. Excellent. Good to know. So you're going to be heading over to the Red Rock Cantina and Dance Hall, which is the last established location of Graves. He will not be there. I will ask you this. What are you hoping to investigate with the corset? As a reminder, the Cantina and Dance Hall are two separate, though neighboring, buildings. The bodies are stored in the basement beneath the Cantina, and then the corset is in the apartments above the dance hall. Various employees, the owners, of course. What is Mother Ruth hoping to particularly focus on?
I want to get a sense of this thing. I want to get my eyes on it. I think Ruth is always constantly like, Ruth does believe in the supernatural. Of course, as we've seen, she's participated in some stuff. But I think she always has to get an eye on it and be like, is this something that is like, you know, actually occurring, or is this something that the marshal can handle? And so I think, yeah, we see she just got it. She has to get her eyes on it. She has to get an assessment of the situation and what she's dealing with.
Good to know. We will touch back to that in a moment. But first, Arkansas. Following Mother Ruth's lead, you're going to go check out this supposed location as a fence, the secondhand general store, which is one of the older one-room buildings located at the southern reach of El Paso. Inside, there are all manner of used merchandise, with about half of it hanging from the rafters. Occasionally, a wind blows through the windows that rattles everything like janky chimes. The owner here is a gentleman by the name of Clarence Thibodeau. You've probably seen him before. He's a very ferrety-looking man dressed in colorful but out-of-date clothes by at least a decade or two. His expression is that of someone just absolutely dying to tell a secret, that constant, almost shit-eating grin and like bursting excitement bubbling behind his face that almost makes his mouth look all the more narrow and his nose pinched and hawkish even. And as if they were cats, he just seems to just caress all the bits of merchandise in his shop with his hands, just almost lovingly, not polishing them, just caressing them. But let's paint the scene about the secondhand general store. A lot of the merchandise seems broken or rusty or both. What are some choice treasures for sale that stand out amongst the junk?
There is a ear horn that is being as told to have belonged to a famous gunfighter from before the Civil War, But the name is smudged on it to tell who it is. An ear horn, I mean, like one of the leather cups connected to a literal like horn to help hear.
There's like a, and he's wearing like a press suit, and there's no dust on it like a lot of this stuff, but hanging from the rafters is this wooden ventriloquist doll that's kind of like gap tooth and just kind of leering down at us.
I love it.
Think right by the door as you sort of enter, like the secondhand general store is like has like a lot of junk. It's just sort of like floor to ceiling, like there is bits and bobs everywhere. But there is this sort of like stone statue of a cat that as you just walk in through the door, it's right there to look to your left looking at.
Indeed, the stone-faced cat leers at you, Arkansas, as you enter this secondhand store. As Clarence Thibodeau, from behind his counter, caressing a collection of colored bottles that have been polished, and just says, "Welcome, welcome, come in, see whatever you're looking to find. Let me know if you need anything."
Holy moly. Look at all these fine things that you have here in this establishment. It's like I walked into like a museum or even the height of civilization right here in El Paso. Who would have thought
Yes,
they could get
yes.
this much stuff in one place?
Yes, there is quite a lot of stuff here. Indeed, let me know if you are finding everything you need, or perchance are you looking for anything in particular?
Oh yeah, I'm looking for something in particular.
Something
Maybe you have it, maybe
more.
you don't.
Oh, well, I'd be happy to help you find it.
Excellent.
Something more exotic than my usual fare.
I can't really tell what all you have because of what all you have. But have you ever heard of the legend of Blackheart Vermilion?
There is a moment's silence as we hear the faint rustling of the wares hanging from the ceiling. Clarence blinks and just says, "Why,
There's a story.
everyone's heard of Blackheart Vermilion, and I, of course, know who you are, Mr. McGee.
Well,
Everyone in town does."
then you know about the legend of her twin revolvers, Redemption and Longshot, and how they're cursed revolvers that are destined to be with those who betrayed her. Have you not heard this part of the story?
I can't say that I have, but sure, that sounds most interesting.
I'm looking for long shot. Has anybody tried to sell it? They'll rip you off because they'll find it in the morning at the foot of their bed.
Why don't you go ahead and make the information move plus presence while you're here? Let's take a look at your conditions. Intoxicated and sympathetic for the dead. I don't think either of those are particularly standing in your way here when it comes to this little freak who runs the store.
And that was also I was also using my move,
Yes, you are.
socialist.
Yes, you are. I caught that.
A two for the price of one plus a dollar.
Yeah.
I think that if I rolled a six and my presence is plus one with
So a seven.
the town folks, but what is my normal presence?
Plus one. So I think that's a plus two. So that brings it to an eight.
Yep, eight.
Here's your complication, not with the clue itself. I think that you've been doing enough of this that it's time for word of your various questions and various activities to now begin making it back to Jim McKinley. That Jim McKinley is now keenly aware that someone is hounding his trail and that it's you. So that's something that you're that is going to that he is now aware of. As for your clues, you get to describe one of them, which you did with long shot because of ghost stories. And knocking that once per session out right at the top, good on you. And I do owe you a clue from Clarence, though. Let's take a look at what we have here.
Yeah, I feel the heat with a complexity 8. I've already lowered that to complexity 6 for future reference. Whew.
Now, just to be just to as a reminder, you said long shot and what was the other one?
Redemption, and
Mm-hmm.
that's the one that
Yeah.
McGee has.
And so long shot is the one that was you've established that it was used to kill her?
No, that
Oh.
it used to be hers,
Oh, gotcha.
and so he's got one, and I've got one.
Gotcha. Let's see. You see that Clarence kind of like looks left, looks right, very conspiratorially, and his lips qu quirk and curl a little bit as if he's having to hide a particularly salacious affair. As he says, "Well, it's actually very, very funny that you mentioned Longshot. It has not been brought before me, but I have heard of its presence here in El Paso.
New tale.
Do you know Alabama Al Hines?
No, I do not know.
Ah,
Wait a minute. What's the Alabama? What?
Al Hines?
No.
Ah, well, rather infamous gambler around these parts. He spends a lot of time gambling at the El Paso Gambling Emporium. Well, rumor has it, though I have good authority to say that it's not a rumor, that he was recently shot in the back and killed while gambling at the new Emporium. And would you believe it or not, Mr. McGee, his assassin, his assailant, his killer flaunted on their betting table the gun once held by Blackheart Vermilion herself, Longshot, and anteed up with it before shooting him out over a dispute.
What a coward.
I don't have the name of the person who did it,
Oh, I
but.
know who did it. This reeks of the coward Jim McKinley.
Jim McKinley. Well, that's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, I'm looking for him.
Is there anything else I can help you find while you're here, Mr. McGee? I do apologize that we don't have the pistol that you're looking for, but perhaps there is something that fancies you, or perhaps catches your eye.
How much for that ventriloquist dummy?
That what? Well, how much is it worth to you?
I don't know. It just looks like it could come in handy.
Handy, because it's a ventriloquist puppet. Mr. McGee, you are so funny. Yes, that will be $2.
I'll see what I can do. Thanks, Mr. Thibodeau. Very nice. You got very nice things here. Very nice. I like
Yes,
all these things.
so very nice.
So I'll just be leaving then.
Oh, have a pleasant day, Mr. McGee. You wanted to buy the puppet?
Is that what it is?
Well,
Okay.
ventriloquist puppet.
I thought maybe it was some kind of decoy, but
It can be.
I'll get back to you on that one. I gotta acquire the funds.
Oh, fine. I'll give it to you for a dollar.
Sold to the man that looks like a ferret.
He gives you the ventriloquist dummy. You may add it to your personal quarters. Here, I want everyone to just communally, well, the three of you, describe this ventriloquist dummy for me. Oh, and I'm actually here. I'm gonna do it like this. Daniel, what outfit is the dummy wearing?
I think it's a black and white pinstripe suit.
Chaotic, what does the dummy's face look like?
It's sort of like is sort of like this bearded sort of guy, sort of wispy hair that's like been sort of been pulled out in places so you can see the revealing glue and whatnot. Basically what you would think of like evil twin.
Gotcha. And Wes, on the little tag, what is the ventriloquist dummy's name?
Alphonse.
All right, you may add Alphonse, the ventriloquist dummy. Very good. And you see yourself out. When you step outside, in the distance, you hear the braying of a donkey, and then not from your perspective, but the audience's, somebody is watching you from the shadows, stepping out of the shop and watching you make your way elsewhere. Somebody follows you with their eyes. Mother Ruth, let's jump over to the dance hall, which is a two-story wooden structure adjacent to the adobe single-story dance hall, or rather, cantina. The dance hall itself, though, is filled with small tables and chairs, all but the first row of which are cleared on busy standing room only nights. There's a main stage at the back, the red velvet curtain that's currently closed during the daytime. And a second fully stocked bar near the rear of the dance hall is the type of place that's open on busy nights. And there's some stairs behind the main stage to get up to the second floor. Let's paint the scene. How is the dance hall subtly engineered and decorated to draw all eyes to the main stage?
There are lights strategically placed that if you look anywhere other than forward, you will get like shuttered, like the shuttered like oil lantern like spotlights they used to have. They will it, if you don't look towards the stage, you will have an eye full of that. So it's uncomfortable to look almost anywhere else except for the stage.
It's just proportionally like the stage takes up quite a bit of the most of the room. Like it's like has like a sort of pulled out sort of platform effect where it like regardless of where you are, you can always see the stage, even in the like far corners of the room where like you like a shadowy corner, like you could still see the stage.
I was interrupted. Could you read the prompt for me again?
Yes. How is the dance hall subtly engineered and decorated to draw all eyes to the main stage?
I think they have these lanterns that are like dark red further away from the stage, and as you get closer to the stage, they get lighter and lighter, brighter and brighter, or they take the film off so that it's brighter. So it kind of just makes the It kind of the lighting kind of draws your eye to the stage.
Very good. There are some dance hall girls moving about here, Mother Ruth, kind of in a bit of a rehearsal. Some of them moving about, coming up and down from the second floor. There is a piano here, cranking out some tunes. One of the dance hall girls is singing at it. And is taking a deep breath to get out the final note of a song she's rehearsing. Her voice high and sweet, but it's wavering a little bit, and you can tell that it's getting to her. But present here amongst the various dance hall girls and employees getting ready for tonight's is Lola Nevas, the co-owner and dance manager. She is a woman with gray hair that frames an otherwise and surprising youthful face. Currently, she's dressed in a turquoise gown with gold trimming and details. She's a very stiff and measured woman of poise and posture. Something that's probably very familiar to you, Ruth, just as a woman of the cloth and your upbringing. She has that kind of like a traditionalist rigidity in her that is otherwise contrasted by her her dress and place of business. She has been in town for years. How long have you been in town, Ruth, do you think?
Oh, Ruth's been here probably an equal amount of time, around about, like, probably came in together. It's been since the end of the Civil War for Ruth.
Yeah. Then you would know Lola from over these years. She started the business when it was just a small little watering hole, and then partnered up with Diamond Dave to realize her dream of running this type of world class entertainment venue. And she says, as you enter, Mother Calvo, pleasure to see you here. Welcome in, welcome in. One of your associates, Mr. Graves, was over at the cantina earlier this morning. Are you here under business as well? She says very measuredly with all the people around in that way that says, like, hey, don't do anything or say anything that's going to be overheard by everyone in this room.
Did he leave?
Mr. Graves? Yeah, I believe he did, though that is Dave's side of the business. I've been here all day.
You had a prayer you wanted to give? Confession? In the room where you keep your corsets? Winks.
I'm going to ask for the day move from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because right. that is a very fun, but very, oh, there he goes. Very fun, but very overt, even in a subtle kind of way, means of hinting at this in a busy locale. What are you afraid of happening here?
One of the nosy ass girls are going to overhear and then start crying, as these, you know, dancers are wont to do. They're always crying about something. I've seen Deadwood.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I'm going to have you roll plus composure.
Okie dokie, composure. Not to say that they're, you know, they do hard work and everything, and they're allowed to cry, but they're always, yes, like, ladies, sometimes. I am going to, hold out the communion chalice that reeks of whiskey to give myself advantage, to suggest that maybe even if I am lying about confession, it is to suggest that we are going to drink with one another and not do something involving corsets or anything like that.
I will say I like that. Okay. Instead of confession, I think that works better if you angle it from the sense of, like, you're delivering her communion to her.
Communion,
and then segue into confession. I like that a lot. Yeah. So okay. that's a pretty good cover. Yeah, you can take it with advantage.
Perfect. Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Glad that got used. This is a resource management game. I believe to refuse it's anything else. Tabletop role playing? What's that? Ooh, advantage. That's a 6 and a 3 plus a 0, a 9.
9. Very good. Here's how you're going to be vulnerable if you choose to continue this line, right? Is that... I have an idea. I'm trying to think of how to articulate it. I think it's pretty, you know, not like well known as in everyone and their mothers could tell you this off the top of their off the cuff, but it's reasonably, you know, common knowledge that Lola Navas is not a religious woman, that she does not go to church. She does not, you know, disrespect the church in any way, but that she is not a, so I think that that is going to draw some attention, not necessarily anything that's going to get overheard, but the fact that apparently she's accepting communion is causing some raised eyebrows, and word might travel and people might begin to speculate, what was Mother Ruth doing with a woman who's never gone to church? And, you know, like, what was happening there? And especially as a member of the Vigilance Committee, you know, that's kind of one of those things where it's just like, oh, hold on, what's happening at the dance hall? So there's going to be a little bit of stink on that.
I, in the words of Marie Antoinette, I say, let them eat stink. So
incredible.
So, yeah.
She, her eyebrows kind of go up, and there's an immediate tenseness of this, but she just nods curtly and doesn't make a show of it. A couple of the dance hall girls like flick their eyes. Some of them look a little confused, but some of them nod respectfully to you, Mother Ruth. And the two of you head upstairs. Marshall Harrington, what are you doing after your encounter?
What did this lady leave for me? Like,
she just left you basically a letter, a note, one might say, that contains the information of where she's staying, you know, the hotel where she's staying, her room.
What are her demands?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want to defer that to the group again. What are some of Lady Antonia's demands for working, for collaborating with the Vigilance Committee?
She wants use of the jail?
That's a good one.
Are we painting scenes right now for this, for this woman? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay.
yeah. What are some of her demands?
She wants a one-on-one interview with Bartholomew Graves.
That's really God. Good. That's really good.
She wants access to the jail. She wants a one-on-one interview with Bartholomew Graves. She wants a connection to silver mines in the region. Somehow, either meeting a company or being taken there directly. She wants to, but there be a connection with her and a supply of silver. For some reason, nobody knows. Holy hell.
I can understand the silver. Grace, once again. I have to talk to Delso about this.
Good to know. I'm gonna make a note here of Lady Antonia's demands. That was great. So that was access to a connection to silver mines. It was connection to silver mines. My brain slipped on them. Yeah,
an interview with Graves one on one, and access to the jail, like sort of use of it. So,
okay, cool, good to know.
Also, she left behind the game facts to the Xbox original game Advent Rising.
Incredibly weird. What a time to be alive.
Oh, what a god.
And yes, she also left you some tea that she had brought with her from London as a sort of a gift to you, and she is staying at the Maxwell Hotel, which is probably the most luxurious hotel in it's not the biggest, but the most luxurious. As you're looking over all of that, what do you do?
I think I just like pick up like the bag of tea and whatnot, stuff, just like the leftover she brought with her, and I head over to Del Sol.
Marshall?
Something happened to her, Del Sol.
Something's always happening somewhere, Marshall Harrington. It just depends on whether or not you possess the peepers with which to perceive.
Well, I suppose that you would, because a woman walked in here just a little bit earlier.
By the way, have you marked any new masks of the past since your last interaction with Del Sol?
I think so. I think what is my mail? Think my last one, because it's been a while, was the narrate a flashback to when you fled to El Paso and old Marshall hid you. Were they a friend, a family member, or former lover?
So how has Del Sol's appearance, how does it reflect what you revealed since then?
Del Sol's like outfit has changed to match more along with, like, the old Marshall's outfits that we saw in the flashback.
A little bit, yeah. He says, to what do you refer, Marshall?
There was a Lady Antonia, the woman with the silver onk.
So, how can I help you, Marshall?
Isn't she? Oh, well.
Marshall Harrington, I will do you the courtesy of asking you as a friend and associate. Do not talk about her right now. Let's go on anywhere else.
Well, there's other sort of business, because apparently there's wild information being thrown about.
Well, I'd imagine there is wild information has been bubbling to the surface of anyone's society ever since we first crawled out of the ooze.
And I recently got my hands on this very, very unusual book here, and I bring out the Book of the Dead.
He doesn't move to take it. He just like nods at it and he goes, "Ooh, well, if I could read in my current state, I bet that would be full of all sorts of fun letters."
Indeed, indeed.
How came you by such a tome, Marshal?
Well, it was given to me by Mother Calvo, who was received it from Graves.
Received it from Mr. Bartholomew Graves, you say? What a curiosity indeed.
Yeah, it seems as
Wasn't
though.
that's the gentleman who was shot not too long ago, was it not? The one who was carried off and tended to by Doc? I believe you rushed out the doors to go see to his health and well-being not long after one of our many riveting conversations.
Indeed, indeed. It seems as though El Paso is sort of a fortitude of bringing everything from outside of it inside.
Oh, in more ways than you could possibly imagine, Marshall, in more ways than you could ever see. Go ahead and roll plus sensitivity.
Not going to be marking the Book of the Dead. It's just a sort of
It's yeah, I'm using it,
conversation
yeah.
starter.
Go for it.
Ooh, that's a level 11.
Very nice. You get two clues here. Take a look at my list real quick for the corset, which I believe these are going to be the first clues for the corset.
Yes.
So what we have here. Such a curious little book like that can only contain one thing, I imagine. A lot of deaths in El Paso lately. Such a shame, don't you agree?
Yes.
You know, the funny thing about a secret when you keep it behind closed doors is that there are ways for secrets to be gleaned by listeners or even perceivers that you were not aware of. This matter that you're looking into right now, Marshall Harrington, with this Dead bodies in a basement. Now, I'm not one to kiss and tell, nor am I one to go about gossip mongering. So you can trust me when I say I don't intend to make your job more complicated. But don't you find it queer indeed that all these victims, all three of them, where they are stored in that root cellar beneath that cantina, all of them shared the same type of facial feature, which was to say, all of them had green eyes. What's that about, I wonder? Maybe it's a coincidence, but Marshall Harrington, how many people do you know that have green eyes in this town? And let me take a look at your sheet real quick. You do not have the darkened threshold mark, so I cannot give you that clue. I'm going to give you a different one. All right, let's see. There are so many good options here on this list. And speaking about behind closed doors, one of those victims, I believe his name is Sylvester Stanton, is it not? Funny thing about Mr. Stanton, the funny thing about his closed doors and the activities happening behind them, if you catch my meaning, Mr. Stanton was engaged in an affair of sorts with who? Well, someone closer to his place of employ than you might think. But like I said, I am not one to kiss or tell. But Marshall Harrington, if indeed that book came from Mr. Graves, well, that certainly complicates things a great deal.
Yes, I think I shall keep this little book a little bit closer to my chest.
Indeed. He looks at you with that, the face is the usual friendly drunk, but those eyes are so keenly, fiercely locked on yours. As Del Sol says, you remember what I told you not too long ago when you asked me a question to something I said?
Well, it's sort of a pattern that you aren't one to kiss and tell about people's personal affairs.
I'm bound by the things that drive me. I cannot declare the things that is not mine to establish. There are rules, Marshall Harrington, rules that are followed and abided. You are moved by them, and so must I.
Of course. It's been very insightful.
Indeed, indeed. Now, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to go back to sleeping it off. And he like walks over and he takes the hat that he's never worn before, but the hat that resembles the old marshal, as you mentioned, just like places it on his head as he lies back on the bench at the cell. But before you leave, he speaks, his voice muffled by the hat, and he just says, one more thing, Marshal. Consider it a fair piece of advice. But I wouldn't mention my being to Mr. Graves.
Of course not.
And you leave. Very good. I want to wrap up the scene with Ruth, and I think we'll go to the dusk phase. Let's talk about the apartments. Well, the apartment and office of Lola and Diamond Dave. a pair of bedrooms with a shared office between them. The walls are done up with a blue brocade wallpaper. Everything here is clean, polished to a high shine. Let's paint the scene about their apartment and office. Looking around, how do we know business is good?
Look at all that new makeup that's just sitting over there. It's fresh, too.
The room is clean. It's apparent that the owners of the cantina have like people on staff to clean this space. So if they can clean here, they can clean everywhere.
The wallpaper, the drapes, the carpets on the floor, they're all like not only high quality but new.
Very good. There's a safe behind a desk that they show to you, Mother Ruth, and they open up where inside is the corset. And despite all this buildup, it's an ordinary, though well-made looking corset, covered in burgundy satin with fine black lace details, the kind of thing no respectable woman would wear to Sunday Mass, if you take my meaning. But it is pretty standard. And Lola's kind of standing off to the side. You know, she opened it for you. You can tell that despite her rigidity, her poise, there is an anxiety, a tension, just being near this thing, an uncertainty, but she's letting you do your work. What do you do? You're muted.
Mother Ruth is seeing it just sit there in the safe. She's tut tut. She's going to casually just pick it up and hold it up near sunlight.
You lift it up out of the safe. It is light and feels as a normal corset would. The fabric feels quite nice against your fingertips. And up to the light, it reflects some of the sun off of its satin with a little bit of a reflective sheen. Very pretty. Like I said, a very well-made corset. The light does not illuminate any flaws in its construction. It glints back at you slightly. You hold it up and Lola does take a sort of like half step backwards subconsciously as you pull it out. There is no change in the wind. There is no sense of supernatural dread that fills the space, but you hold it up into the sunlight.
Noting her like kind of, she like, oh, like does like a jump back, almost a gasp. Ruth is going to tut tut and just shake her head and think about swinging it towards Lola, but it's not going to. And it's just going to purse her lips and then set it down on a desk. Is there like a desk?
Yeah, there's a desk in the office.
Going to set it down on a desk, pull out a flask, one that we've seen Ruth before drinking whiskey from. And is going to pull out a Bible, and is going to look at Lola and say, "Would you like to be staying inside or outside for this, dear?"
She opens her mouth to speak and then stops and then looks at your hand, looks at the corset, looks at you again and just says, "Oh, you seem like a capable woman. I wouldn't want to step on your toes or get in the way. Just let me know if you need anything, and we appreciate your discretion." And she very hastily makes her way out of the office.
They never stay. And it's just going to turn and go to the corset and just go. Forgive me, Lord, please do not cause a mess like this. And it's going to uncap the flask and start praying in Dutch and fling holy water on this thing to see if anything happens, to see if it actually like reacts at all. Not trying to purge, just trying to get a reaction. I'm goading this thing.
I want to have this since you are taking this as the angle of fuck around and find out for the sake of information. It'll be the information move since you're more,
Perfect.
this is more about watching to see what happens. I think this is going to be plus your, honestly, plus sensitivity since like you are doing the, No, I was thinking reason, but I think sensitivity makes the most sense because again, you are invoking and engaging with things on a supernatural level, even if it's with the intention of learning from it, you're still engaging with it. No disadvantage from being pious. In fact, being pious probably fucking helps you here. So it's just a flat roll, information move plus sensitivity.
Perfect. Okay. Information plus sensitivity. Feeling good. Daniel, which two dice do I use? White, black, orange, or like cloudy gray, stormy gray?
Let's go with the black for the corset.
Black for the corset. Okay. Perfect. I love to see it. That is a 6 and a 5 plus 2. That is a 13.
Very good. Let's take a 5-minute break. Mother Ruth. As you invoke passages from the Bible and flick liquid from the flask onto the corset, there's a moment of silence, a moment of absolute quiet. Not even the sound of horses out in the street or people creaking their boots on the boardwalk. There's just silence. There's not steam and there's not burning, but there is, after a moment, blood. A deep red blood that oozes up out of invisible wounds on the surface of the corset, spilling from its open orifices, dripping onto the desk, onto the floor. Very gross indeed. It sits now on the desk in a puddle of thick sanguine fluid that dribbles down to the floorboards. And then there's a shifting. That was your regular clue, the bleeding that happened when you did that. But then there's a shift, something moving inside the corset. And after a moment, you see poking its head out of the corset is a rattlesnake. It's having a lot of difficulty moving. You can only see its head, but you can tell that there's something wrong with it where it's trying to escape, but it can't quite. What do you do?
Mother Ruth, without hesitation, is going to slowly reach out and grab the snake, not giving it time to strike, by the like right up behind the head and try to pull it out.
I'm gonna have it be the day move. What are you afraid of happening? I think it's obvious, but
The snake will bite me.
yeah. You can roll plus, since you're saying you're doing it quick enough, vitality.
That's a 7.
Seven. I don't think it bites you, but here's the thing that is vulnerable is that you are going to lose track of the snake after this. It will get away.
I think that Mother Ruth Ruth, like understanding that and everything like that, that this like it, the snake's gotta get away. This is not in the snake's it's not fair to the snake's nature. I get it. I think it would be cruel for Mother Ruth to leave behind any one of God's creatures and a like trapped in the whatever this fucking thing is, that has clearly caught a snake, it seems. So yeah, no, let this thing, it, like, the snake deserves to live.
You
Unless
pulled
it's
out.
like injured and then would just like
Well,
snap the neck.
yeah, it doesn't seem to be injured, but you can immediately tell why it was having trouble moving once you quickly lash out and grab it behind the head. Its jaws open, fangs barred, but Baird, you don't get bitten, you hold it. As you pull it out, you see the reason why it was having trouble moving is because it is all sorts of twisted up, its body downward. That it is tangled and twisted against itself. But as you pull it out, you look at it, and this snake is tied almost perfectly, as far as a snake can be, into a hangman's noose knot. The tail forming the latter part of a loop, tucked and spun against itself, its tail trying to rattle in a warning to you, but with its twisted state, it doesn't. But you are it does manage to untangle after a moment of you looking at it. And there's a quickness to its movement that you almost reflexively drop it. And it very quickly like slithers away out of sight in this apartment somewhere. That snake might be a problem for someone else though. Like someone might get bitten by that snake later.
And that's in God's plan. It was not God's plan for that thing to be tied up like a hangman's noose, though. Would that be considered an act of kindness?
I like that. I'll give you a point. I'll give each tick a box,
Okay.
but I will ask you because I was a 7 to 9, basically, how does Mother Ruth feel?
I'd say shaken. I would say
You take shaken as a condition.
after that, like very much acting like she was fine, but then as soon as the snake leaves, she's like, that was fucked.
Yeah, you can take shaken as a condition.
Perfect.
And I think with that, we'll bring the day phase to a close, and we're going to move on to the dusk. Marshall, is there going to be an assemblage tonight?
Yeah.
It's been a minute. All right,
It's been a minute.
we're going to call an assemblage. Let's establish that. Well, first of all, Ruth, Arkansas, will you be in attendance tonight or no?
Yes. No, sir.
No, no's from Arkansas. Then Mother Ruth and Marshall Harrington, what side characters are in attendance? You can each name a side character, and then you get advantage on roles associated with that. So, yeah.
Gotta be Dr. Clarkson, doesn't it?
Up to, yeah, entirely up to you.
Dr. Clarkson. Oof. I like Winslow Taggart being there. I think that's interesting. He wants to get an eye on things.
Good to know. Okay, very good. So you're going to be calling an assemblage regarding the state of affairs, the township of El Paso, and you are, I mean, we are naming the last ride and the corset.
I'm going to try to answer the last rod.
Yeah, we're about to get to that in a second then. Cool, very good. All right, well, then moving on. But first of all, before we continue, let's paint the scene about the wounded knight in El Paso. Let's see here. This makes sense. Let's do tensions in El Paso. During the season of the Wounded Knight, everyone in El Paso is wound tighter than a drunk's pocket watch. What remains of a reckless act are cleaned up, repaired, or apologized for in the morning after a wild night of letting loose.
I
Quite,
think.
okay.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Quite literally, there are some windows being repaired, whether people being literally getting like shoved through them and breaking them and whatnot, or people who end up just getting stuck and thinking, oh no, like this can be fixed. Like we have like a couple screwdrivers, we can take this apart, and accidentally breaking it regardless of intentions. So.
The doors, the swinging doors on the Rio Grande Gambling Saloon have once again need to be tightened because motherfuckers keep slamming them. They slam, they're swinging, just walk through them. But everybody has to make an entrance or an exit, so they just push them open. And there's even now a sign that says, "Please do not slam." And it's just signed, the owner.
Can't see it from Santa Fe Street, but in the back alley is just a mound of empty brown glass bottles.
Very good. So Daniel is going to want to, he's put forward that he would like to take a stab at the last rite of Black Heart Vermilion with your seven clues on the complexity eight. Yeah, I mean, Daniel, if you'd like to kick things off with that, of where is the coward Jim McKinley hiding?
I have a theory, except for one of the clues throws me off. But basically, the crux of my theory is that he's based on all these locations, he's in a certain part of El Paso where he cannot see the cemetery. So where's it at? Cowards avoid that's avoided. And then he, based on the fact that he has long shot, the cursed pistol of Black Heart Vermilion, that he can shoot like at a distance from secret places, and so that's how he was able to get Deputy Wainwright in the alley, and Neil's, the stagecoach, the secondhand store, the gambling emporium where Alabama Al Hines was shot, like all those are in the same neighborhood. The same part of El Paso, and in the heart of it is like a rinky behind the main streets is like a little shanty town of tents and shacks where people come for these are all pretty shady places. So people who can't afford other housing, they're all kind of in this little shanty town, and so I'm saying he's in that shanty town. Behind these establishments, but I don't get the letter. I don't understand that one. I don't have the warning letter that tells him that it's not safe. He needs to get out of El Paso.
Like, just because like he hasn't received it, is that he's trying to like restrain about like how many people he's directly interacting with? Because I think this is also goes into the like the reason like about Alabama Al Hines got shot because like he got real close to Jim McKinley, so like he's wanting to like keep low down because he doesn't want people to like see him, but he still like has to engage with them, so like. Keeping far, keeping distant, and like with the letter, he has to go directly to a person to get it, and then like that's just too risky. It doesn't matter what it says.
I like that he's confined to that little shanty town. Like he goes to the establishments, like through their rear entrances and stuff, but he's not out and about where people can see him. And that not picking up his mail helps establish that.
Wes, anything to add?
No, I think they got it brilliantly. Like that's y'all
Yeah.
covered all the yeah, that beautiful,
I
beautiful
like
stuff.
that. That uses 7 out of 8. So you'd be making the roll with a minus one. Go ahead and make the roll, Daniel.
And if I fail, he's not that he's someplace else, right?
Well, if you fail, because this is technically not a threshold question, it means that it is you're incorrect and you'll have to get a new clue and take a whole new stab at it. Yeah.
Is he right behind me? Okay,
Maybe.
let me roll. Minus one. Okay. 7 minus 1 is a 6.
Yeah.
That means it's incorrect, and I react.
Since this is a playbook specific threat, I'd hate to ask you guys to put on a mask.
Yeah, I will say I have an idea for a. I will say this at least. You're making a lot of assumptions about what the coward Jim McKinley's doing. But the thing with Jim McKinley is he knows what assumptions people are going to make about him. And that means that this is probably going to be a trap for you. So you think you've gotten the lead on him, but tonight he will have the jump on you, and we'll see where that goes. That's the result of a miss. These clues are not spent, but they are unavailable to use until you have found at least one more clue. Let's go around here, and here, well, we have, obviously we have two of our hunters going to be at the assemblage. I'd like to hear roughly what you're going to be doing during the night phase, at that assemblage or not. So, Mother Ruth, what is your plan when you're at the assemblage?
Mother Ruth is going to the assemblage, as a sign of support to the marshal, but to a lot of people got affected by how long we took with Ghost Be Gone and Daisy Man. And I think that's weighing on Mother Ruth a little bit, is that a lot of people, due to the Vigilance Committee, not, but there was a lot that kind of got out of hand. And so she is going to be going to keep an eye. Who in this town maybe has an eye for fashion and might be the victim of the corset next, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Let's nip this in the bud
I
is
will make a note
essentially
of
what she's,
that.
what
I'll do
she's
that.
thinking.
Okay, gotcha. What about Marshall Harrington? What is his focus at the assemblage going to be?
It's more or less like rectifying, like making sure like El Paso understands what we're doing, because like I think there was a lot of frustration with like how we handled previous threats, and currently like I'm just sort of effectively making sure things are all right and taking note of like any additional problems in town, because like again, like our deputy got shot recently. There's just a lot of anxiety because even though the gold did get returned, it's still like it got out of the bank. Some people have died recently, like I think it's just been real stress, and like I think this is just to assure the confidence of El Paso that we're doing better than last time.
No. In Arkansas, are you going to follow your hunch tonight?
Oh yeah, he's gonna go to the shanty town. He's got the lock of hair from Blackheart Vermilion. He's not gonna summon her ghost until he gets eyes on the guy. So that's the plan. He's going there to look around. Now, at his, I'll probably use my fraternize with the fellows to try to get another clue while I'm there in the rough and tumble shanty town.
And then before we move on to introduce the unseen, I believe we are owed a mask of the future from Mother Ruth Calvo. Would you like to tell us about that prompt?
Yeah, so over a little bit of the time that has been occurring, something has been happening in the background that Mother Calvo has been avoiding, has been focusing on other things with the Vigilance Committee. These are the parts of the day where you don't see Mother Calvo. We may see snapshots, but quietly, she has been establishing his wrathful embrace as a new brick and mortar church, no longer a tent. So as Mother Calvo is leaving the dance hall that night, she is walking along, and we can hear there are hammers knocking in the distance, and then a couple of clapping. As we see Mother Calvo stops down a street, and there is a new church in El Paso. It has that schoolhouse type design of the church, except there's a cross at the top, and we can see there are some workmen kind of clapping and nodding. As we see people that look familiar, but they're older. To some of these flashbacks we've been seeing in Mother Ruth Calvo, and we see them. We see men with beards, and like wide brim black hats. We see that they are wearing like suspenders with like high waisted pants. We see that there are also women wearing bonnets, tight bonnets, and they are wearing like simple gingham gowns, and they are all speaking Dutch to one another. And one of them calls for Mother Ruth to come over as he points at a sign, and it needs one last touch, one little last thing that it needs. And so Mother Ruth comes over and adds to it. And it is called the First El Paso Church of the Reformed. And you can tell that the cross styling and everything is in the style of the Dutch Reformed Church, a Protestant church from the Netherlands. That is, well, it's had some ebbs and flows, let's say. And this is one of those hills, not a valley for it, as she smiles and adds a last little bit, established the year of this game, and looks on it and smiles. And gets invited inside by a group, by this group.
Tonight's unseen will be the Texas Diamondback Rattlesnake. The Texas Diamondback is responsible for most of the deaths from snake bites in the Southwest. In their defense, they do give a vigorous warning in the form of a rattle before they strike. The first prompt is paint the scene for everyone. Second, chaotic. Third, Daniel. And fourth, Wes. We will take a 10-minute break, and then we will dive right into this night phase.
Ooh.
The unseen is a paint the scene, so this one will begin with everyone. A large specimen, about 5 feet in length, is stretched out on a big rock as the sun goes down. Describe the unsuspecting varmints it takes a pass on.
Let's say there's a large grasshopper. That's just kind of crawling on some weed, right in front of the rattlesnake. He doesn't notice the rattlesnake, and this grasshopper is light green. Typically, it would be light green, this light green and yellow color, but it's been such a dusty day. It's covered in a light layer of like this buff colored dust.
I think just scurrying along the ground, like this little mouse almost comes right up directly to the rattlesnake and realizes what it's looking at and bolts and runs away. But honestly, it's a bit of a too small of a morsel for the rattlesnake.
Overlooking a nearby cactus, pecking at a flower, you can see there is a like a it's a thin-beaked, small type bird that nests in bushes, and it's pecking around the flowers. And the snake just looks over at it, noting the spines on the cactus. Too much work.
Marshal Harrington, you stand before the assembled people of El Paso, ready to deliver your opening speech. Where is this assemblage being held?
think it's being held at Town Hall
Hmm.
just because, again, it's a common meeting place. It's a good, respectable location. People feel comforted and safe there.
Well, if you would not mind, please deliver your opening speech related to the state of affairs in the township of El Paso and then roll with presence.
It's, despite what has happened in the last few weeks, is a new dawn for El Paso as we welcome new people into our midst. We've had several guests over the last couple weeks, as well as finally the first El Paso Church of the Reformed has been finally built.
Hear, hear.
I know things have been tough as of late, and I know that there's been frustration with the Vigilance Committee, but I must remind you that the last Wounded Knight was a disaster, and this has been much better. People's homes have been relatively safe for the most part. Nothing has burned down. People have been surviving, even though some folks have been shot. Frankly, with each passing day, we are trying to do better by El Paso. We have returned the money that was stolen by the bank. We have resolved sort of the complications with like who is here, who is meant to defend El Paso, who is on the Vigilance Committee by welcoming Dr. Clarkson into our midst for his expertise in the sciences
Oh,
of
speak
ghosts.
on! Yahoo!
But I just want to make sure that we keep on open communication with you, the townsfolks, about sort of the what has been going on and what we can expect for the future, because I assure you that this is only the beginning, and I think we will have it so that during the Wounded Knight, everyone can feel truly safe in El Paso.
Roll with presence.
That is a 10.
Very good. I will reveal one clue for each active threat over the course of the night phase. There's scattered applause as you finish speaking, looking around in attendance, aside from Dr. Clarkson, who you invited, as well as Taggart, who Mother Calvo invited. We also see Doc Albers. Saul Ortega, the aspiring journalist for the El Paso Times, is here in Agatha's stead. Seems that she's putting him on a trial for writing for the El Paso Times, though he's reporting on the assemblage. Luisa Lazaro, the manager of the new gambling emporium, is in attendance. Deputy Wainwright, after his gunshot, he's on the mend, but he put on a brave face and wants to be seen by the people tonight. And various others you can see, and at the far back of the room, politely out of the way, is Lady Antonia, who is watching keenly. Mother Ruth, as Marshal Harrington is giving his opening speech, I reckon you are seated politely in attendance. What are you doing as he is speaking, and immediately after he steps off the front stage?
People seem to be receiving it well.
Apparently enough, yeah, there's a lot of pause. It's not, a raucous applause, but it's everything's calm. There's no jeers, there's no leering.
And these hussies wearing flagrant nightwear.
Define flagrant nightwear these hussies might be wearing, Wes.
Lace slips, corsets.
Hey, I think all of the people in attendance this
No underwear
evening.
should have any decoration on it, according to Ruth Calvo.
I
Wes
think,
Franks thinks otherwise.
oh yes. I think in attendance, everyone here is appropriately dressed for a town meeting. You are relieved to see as much.
Okay, I'm gonna start ripping clothes off of people. No, I'm kidding. Is there anybody in the audience that seems to be opposed to what the marshal just said? Or does there appear to be anybody that seems unconvinced by what the marshal just said?
I think you honestly see that, like looking around the room, it's the steely eyes of that Pinkerton, Winslow Taggart, especially when mentioned of like returned the gold to the community. There is a flick of hardness, and that mask, that prosthetic mask that covers his ruined lower part of his face, obfuscates any other like facial reaction he might have, but those eyes very tell you very clearly what he thinks of the marshal and his justice.
Well, then I'm going to slowly start making my way over towards this Pinkerton.
You begin to maneuver your way through the crowd as Marshal Harrington steps off the stage. Arkansas McGee. As we're walking through the shanty town on the outskirts of El Paso, where it is dark, this place is claustrophobic, narrow, shadowed, reeking of sweat and dirt and filth. Shanties and tents, crooked, some collapsed, old fires, that sort of thing. Let's paint the scene. As Arkansas is walking through the shanty town, El Paso is in a near constant expansion, a boom of prosperity. But the shanty town always seems to get worse. What features of the shanty town on the outskirts of El Paso have been, how do I phrase this? What features of the shanty town have basically been attributing strongest to its refusal to change, to its constant decline? A rotting, infected wound on an otherwise healthy town.
I think a lot of the downtrodden, the drifters, the down and out folk, I think they keep a burn pile, not just to keep them warm at night as they like stand around it and smoke and complain, but also just to burn trash and so it makes this like just smoldering foul it.
The majority of like sort of community improvement types of things are handled by the law enforcement of El Paso, particularly with the marshal and the deputies. Like they help like things out like when they're not dealing with crime and whatnot. So, but however, this the shanty town is determined to deal like have like their own sort of justice, and they refuse like any help from like the marshal or any of his deputies. So like we see this through like a literal quote unquote sign bounty board like out on the outskirts of the shanty town, where it has both the marshal and like Deputy Wainwright and a few other people on it as sort of people who are not welcome there.
There is not a really good and clean water source nearby. Some of El Paso's best water has been kept for other parts of the town. So they make do around here. There's a lot of women's undergarments, pantyhoses of that nature, things of that nature that are being stretched out, and water is being collected from unclean sources that is being sifted through these pantyhoses and then boiled so that they can have fresh water.
Arkansas, as you're walking through the narrow, dark shanty streets or dirt, muddy paths, pass a pen of hogs just snorting and minding their own business. Where are your eyes traveling? What are you looking for?
He's probably looking for the burn pit so he can go like hang out and fraternize the people of the shanty town.
Indeed, there is a burn pit that you feel it before you smell it. Not the heat, mind you, but the sort of greasy ash faintly in the air that clings to the sweat on your brow, giving you a film of just filthy, dark, streaking sweat. You see the burn pit and the laborers, and you walk to approach. Let's go back to the unseen.
The rattler eventually slides down its rock onto the sandy ground. Describe the early evening snack of insects living in the dust scrub. I think, again, we see like it's sort of like the snake that finally get fed up of like not seeing good enough meals. Seeing things that are too small, too crunchy, too much bone, or just, so it just slides down looking for some sort of meatier creature. And like there in the desert scrub is like this beetle who is just looking away, crawling very slow. So the snake just strikes out and eats it, swallowing it whole. It goes crunch, but it's not, it's very thin, very exoskeleton, but it's just full of meat.
Back at the town hall, Marshal Harrington, after finishing your opening speech, people begin to talk and discuss the affairs. And some people stand up to, air their grievances or express their questions. Deputy Wainwright's helping where he can. Of course, the manager of the new gambling emporium, Luisa Lazaro, is brings up the recent murder of one of her clients, who was shot in the middle of a gambling thing. It verges at points where it might become far too mundane, right? Where but luckily you have a good hand and are guiding the conversation well. There are, of course, concerns over like the barbarity of people just basically shooting one another over gambling debts in otherwise respectable businesses. And I'm going to go ahead and give you a clue for the last rite of Blackheart Vermilion that just kind of comes up in the mix of discussions amongst the town. Let's see here.
Yeah, I think like with like the sort of gambling thing, I do mention like we have a pretty good idea about who it is, Jim McKinley, because like the gun being used in that was seen to be long shot, which currently like he was the last person to be seen having that. However, it might be that the gun is cursed of some sort, so like it is Vigilance Committee business.
I think your clue mentions, well, I think Saul Ortega actually brings up just being like, Marshal Harrington, Saul Ortega for the El Paso Times, well, soon to be at least. I on this matter that you just mentioned with a long shot, well, we did just push an advertisement. Sorry, let me backtrack, everyone. I'm still kind of new to the actual full procedure. It's a bit of a dream come true, but so the as you all know, good readers of the El Paso Times, that the we publish advertisements that people pay for in the paper, and we did recently have someone put in an advertisement for the pistol that killed Blackheart Vermilion. That doesn't sound like Longshot, but are you, is it supposedly this Jim McKinley fellow, the one who is the one who killed the legendary gunslinger herself? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the they came to us anonymously, but do you think that's interesting? If he supposedly, if he has her this supposedly cursed pistol now, might be trying to sell the original. Do you have any concerns about the gun that shot Blackheart Vermilion? Could Blackheart Vermilion's ghost be in the gun that killed her?
Well, according to rumors so far, it seems as though the gun's particular curse is that the owner of it cannot get rid of it. So this could be a quick get-rich-money scheme where they sell the gun over and over again. So,
oh, just to be clear, it's they're not selling Longshot. They're selling, apparently, the gun that killed Blackheart Vermilion. But yeah, so that's the clue that you brought up, is that that there was a recent ad put into the paper. Someone is trying to sell the pistol that killed Blackheart Vermilion. That's the clue I'm going to give you. Ruth Calvo, you approach the Pinkerton Winslow Taggart. And it's kind of in a lull when there's people milling about, conversing with one another quietly. His eyes shift over toward you as you, how do you approach him?
Well, I thought I knew everybody in this godforsaken town. And just when I came to this assemblage, what do I see but someone I've never seen before? And with such a lovely face as well.
Yeah, and who might you be?
Oh, no one of little importance. Yeah. Name is Mother Ruth Calvo. I am the holy woman, or what do I say you, the leader of the church, the first El Paso Church of the Reformed. We just opened this evening.
Yeah, that new building on the edge of town. I think I've seen it a few times. Congratulations. Now, is there something I can help you with?
I'm just hoping for, mayhaps some insight as to what brings you to our fair town. Is there anything that we can help you with? We like to extend a hand to our new neighbors. It's quite neighborly.
I work with the Pinkerton Agency, Mother. I was originally brought in by the government to take over after the bank was robbed.
And you work for, like, the government?
I work for the Pinkerton Agency, and we occasionally take jobs for the government.
Well, so you're just a gun for hire, then?
Yeah, some people might call us that, but hardly. We're more refined.
A little bit of spittle comes down his chin, and he like coughs and like has like wipe it slightly, and he says,
I can't exactly articulate words as well as some Mother Ruth. This conversation is tiring. Can you cut to cut to the chase?
Are you in pain? Do you need something? My dear man.
The only pain I have is my difficulty getting around some words. I am fine.
Is there anything that I can do to make you more comfortable? Or maybe we can have a more letter-writing conversation that might be good for you.
I'm going to set this up with the day move. Actually, I'll just make it a night move because it's nighttime. I don't care about the relatives' safety of the tunnel. I'll have the night move. I think this is going to be plus presence. What are you afraid of happening here?
This guy's just gonna write me off. Just try to avoid me whenever, just because I'm grilling him so hard.
It's actually worse than that. You're touching an unseen nerve here. This man is already a bad egg, but there is something about, as genuine as you may be, it's like, the kind of like stand up, flip a table, like, I don't need your fucking charity. Like, it's gonna touch a nerve, and he's gonna like have like a he's gonna get real angry real fast, and not, and we'll see where that goes, but yeah, and that'll definitely be burning some bridges.
Best
So you can
watch
roll plus
himself.
presence if you wish to persist.
Absolutely.
And I think he gets
You
an
do,
advantage,
you
right?
do, you do, because of you invited Taggart.
Taggart.
Nice.
Perfect. All right. And he said this is with presents. Oh, interessante. Oh my God, where's okay, two. So that is a four plus a two plus a two. That brings it to an eight.
Very good. We'll get back to that. Marshall Harrington, aside from Saul's contribution, you've been wanting to make sure the town is understanding the committee's work. Dr. Clarkson is here to help. What angles are you taking on that then? People are asking questions about how you intend to address various matters, especially with these recent shootings. Of course, no one here knows about the dance hall murders with the corset. That's under wraps, but there is concern. What is your plan here? How are you talking to people?
I think it, once again, this is sort of like a sort of dual approach because, like, I know, like, I've gotten into more of the good graces of the town, but, like, Dr. Clarkson is a particular favorite of, like, the people because he's just very charismatic and very easy to talk to. So, like, I'm like answering questions in sort of an official, like, representative of the town, effectively. Whereas, like, I think I'm having Dr. Clarkson be like sort of almost a little bit of a gossip about like what things are going on because one, he's new here, and two, like, he's done a lot of good in the town's eyes. So it's just like later we're gonna get back together and like exchange notes and whatnot about like what's going on.
I'm going to ask for the day move on this, not the night move, because I actually think that the personality of Dr. Clarkson is, for one thing, very disarming towards many people here who like him and are willing to work with you. This will be plus presence. And what are you afraid of happening in this kind of situation where you're just talking to people, managing the meeting?
It's just gonna be mundane like things because people are like, with how fast we resolved the last two threats, and one of them being like completely under wraps, like no one really wants to talk about Jim McKinley because like that's really old news. That's not a threat. Like they don't think it's like any supernatural in nature. It's just like
It's not
old
Wounded
heading.
Knight business. Yeah,
It's that.
gotcha. Go ahead and roll.
With advantage because I invited
Yes,
Dr.
that is
Clarkson.
correct, because he is helping out here from the shadows.
Wow, terrible roll. That's a nine.
Okay. Arkansas, you approach the burn pile where there are some old, out of work cowpokes, drifters who are throwing stuff into the burn pile. You approach them. These are the kind of people you'd like to see. What do you do?
I'm wanting to use my move.
We'll get to that in a moment, but I'd just like to kind of know how Arkansas approaches
I
them.
think he's like looking around and at all their faces to make sure Jim McKinley's not among them. But I think he's using his he tries to find like a face that he recognizes that he's seen around, and then he'll try to like offer them some of the moonshine from his canteen.
One of them looks at you and says, "Whoa, that's strong smelling stuff there, partner. You sure I'm not going to catch flame immediately this close to the pile?"
He takes a look at the fire and says, "Yeah, let's take one step back."
Yeah. And I'll take some and a couple other and says, oh, that sounds nice. A woman like walks up and like takes a swig and she says, well, thank you kindly. What brings you out of these parts? You look lost.
No, I used to live right over there. He points to the shack that's collapsed and maybe they've used some of the siding for like firewood. I used to live right there. That used to be my abode. I'm Arkansas McGee.
They're like one of them like whistles like, now hold on a minute. The Arkansas McGee?
Unless one there's two of us.
Well, I'd hope not. You rode with Blackheart Vermilion.
That I had the honor to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you were walking about town lately. I mean, well, more active than usual. You're involved vigilance committee business. Heard you've been just all sorts of hands and pies, as the saying goes.
No, I'm usually drunk.
They chuckle and says, well, you drunk tonight?
What's that?
You drunk tonight?
I'm getting there.
They offer you your flask of moonshine back to you. And one of them says, you want to give us a hand or are you just here for conversation?
Hand doing what? Burning this trash?
Yeah.
Whose trash is it?
El Paso's trash. What Let's else?
Burn. Let's burn it.
And the pile's pretty big. You sure you got the strength for it?
What? What's that supposed to mean?
All right. You grab some of that and help haul it over. As you do so, what is Arkansas's spidey sense? His sense of like when you know that the kind of sense that is the same as in when guns are about to be drawn in a room, as when a mariachi band is about to play on the subway. That kind of sense of just like hack. You know what is how does that what is Arkansas's version of that? The danger sense.
Well, I think with the coward Jim McKinley, that it's something going to be like behind me or in a or with long shot he could be in a shack across the way. So I think he's helping out and he's talking to these guys, but he's like really trying to like focus on like the periphery and the shadows.
Yeah,
and behind him.
Yeah, and that's really what does you in, because as you're focused so hard on the periphery and the shadows away from these fellows, when they draw their knives and guns with you cornered and go to first stab you and as not to get shots off, very quick, a quick and quiet kill. You were distracted with looking for Jim McKinley that you didn't notice that these desperados, that these people that we now know are members of his old gang that he seems to have rustled up to help him take care of this loose end, or paid off to do so. We're going to trigger the night move here. What are you afraid of happening?
That he'll get killed.
Yeah, it absolutely is worse than that. They're going to throw your body in the burn pile to hide all evidence of your death.
No.
I'm going to ask you. You don't have to make any comments, I think. What are you going to say?
In terms of like mechanics, I would remind people to look at the Devil
I know.
Took Two.
I know. Don't worry. I know. I read the custom move. Don't worry. Your
oh,
custom,
yeah.
No,
so
the audience doesn't know. Shush. But yes, gotcha. So then in that case, unless you have some way to say that you are backing down or at least, you know, getting out of there in some way, it's going to be plus vitality at disadvantage because you're intoxicated.
That just makes me deadly. So when he sees that they have the knives and they're about to stab him, he says, so we're going with knives. And that's when he pulls out his sharp skin enough. I'll mark that. It'll give me a trusty trapper skin and knife.
Yeah, very sharp. Can flense flesh from an animal and a person with very little effort.
So I'll be rolling flat plus vitality. Do I have? I have plus one vitality. Okay. That gives me a 4 and a 3, 7, 8.
Eight. Let's go back to the unseen.
Oh, it's mine. Then scene. Hunting at night for the main course, the rattler is locked onto this whip-tailed lizard that's fixing its sandy burrow. How does the rattler eventually defeat the smaller prey? And so, once he creeps up behind this lizard that's working on his making his sandy burrow a little bit wider. He strikes, but the lizard twists really quickly and lashes out with its tail, and it whacks the side of the rattlesnake. But the rattlesnake just writhes and rolls and locks its fangs into the torso of this lizard, and slowly, as the poison interacts with the lizard's bloodstream, it slowly stops and is still.
Mother Ruth, with Winslow Taggard, you rolled an 8. So you do, but there's a complication. I'm just double checking something real quick about your playbook.
Don't you worry about my playbook.
I'm going to say this. He's open to it. He's open to this conversation to speak with him and even write things and continue this narrative in some way. But I think he's going to express he is a man who has, faced hard times. More than once, more than physical hard times. It's a tough life being a Pinkerton, especially when the jobs are dangerous and they don't pay you that well. Unless you give him a bribe, unless you make it worth his while, he's kind of gonna not really give you many efforts. It's like half effort, It's basically your large pile of money that you have. You give it to the Pinkerton. He'll take it and go.
Mercenary. Worse than cheats or gamblers. Take it.
You can delete it from your sheet. He takes it. And he says,
"You are too kind. I'd be more than happy to consider this a retainer for my services. Let's talk whenever you have a moment."
Marshall Harrington, your conversations they're okay. A lot of the township is still a little chafed by that whole unresolved affair with this bounty hunter and the claims of your identity and past crimes. Even Dr. Clarkson is doing a good job here. However, here's how you, because this was a day move, here's how you're going to be vulnerable if you persist. It is a matter of common knowledge now that Dr. Clarkson has joined the Vigilance Committee. And for now, that's been a good thing of, you know, getting to help, you know, bridge the gap, kind of overcome some of the tensions that were there in recent weeks. However, you're spreading yourself a little thin with this effort, and it's going to be not blatantly obvious, but the dynamic duo nature of your 1-2 punch here with Dr. Clarkson, people are going to kind of catch wind of it and being like, they are kind of playing us just for like playing the field to get information. And like, and it's, there is going, basically, this is where like Dr. Clarkson's inherent like use of like getting you like into doors that have been closed stops. Because it's like people are now beginning to realize, wait a second, Dr. Clarkson, people are not as immediately forthcoming with him because they know that you're working in tandem and they're still kind of nervous about that. Not outright hostile, but basically that's the vulnerability.
Yeah, that's fine. I kind of figured that this was going to happen at some point. I don't think Dr. Clarkson realized that that was going to happen at some point, though.
Yeah, you're going to take the condition, the people versus Jebediah Clarkson. But other than that, though, the night goes pretty well. And at one point, Jebediah circles back to you and says, "That was a very good speech, Andrew. Did you rehearse that in the mirror?"
No, I've just been thinking about it a lot, that's all.
Well, good job. All right, let's share notes. And you're kind of like, you know, speaking in the corner, and he says, well, I don't have a lot to offer on that front. A lot of people talking about, he's like looking at his notes and just saying, looking forward to the railroads coming to El Paso, the business, the growth, all that stuff about the last 2 years since that Reynolds woman came to town, funding the railroad business, all that sort of things, steady increase there. But I did catch something, and this is where I'm going to give you your extra clue that I owe you from the assemblage move. This one will be for the corset, he mentions to you. Let's see here. Yeah, okay. He mentioned some concerns because he had heard from Luisa Lazaro, the owner of the gambling hall. She had someone who who previously worked at Red Rock and left employee and now kind of like works at the gambling hall as just one of the saloon girls, just kind of like helping out at tables and all that. And Luisa mentioned that one of her girls has had a fair number of bruises because it seems that while working at Red Rock, this girl who left, she was previously working there as a dance hall girl, secretly confessed to Luisa that Lola Navas is like pretty cruel to her girls and like regularly beat them or at least regularly beat her for her inability to like live up to her expectations, like cracking down on her with a stick and all that. And it was very secret under wraps. And this was expressed to like Jebediah as like very like just one of the many small matters in town about just like the barbarity that lingers in our township. So that is your other clue. Arkansas. You got an 8. I'll let you narrate what happens instead of me controlling this, but I will tell you the consequence here is I'm going to give you the condition beat half to death.
I think I'll put on a mask.
In that case, narrate what happens. as you fall into this trap, but fight back.
After he says, "Oh, so it's going to be knives," I think the in the camera shifts to the assemblage. When it comes back, we see Arkansas's his jacket, his buckskin jacket has some cuts in it, and he's looking at some holes in it. But it didn't seem to do more than just like surface scratches. And he's cleaning off this knife on some piece of rag, and he sheathes it. And as he's leaving this part of the shantytown, we just see the bodies of those gang members on the smoldering trash pit.
Let's hear that last prompt on the unseen.
The Rattler is back on their sunning rock just as the dark sky is tinged pink. We see it just lazily laying about, taking in all that it's eaten and done today. It sits, its crooked grin open, slightly ajar in the sun, when a shadow overtakes it. It doesn't notice at first, but then it notes that, oh, it's gone. And it opens its eyes just as talons rip into its stomach and lift up into the air. It can feel itself being pulled up through the air. A Harris hawk has snatched it, noticing that it is taking in the sun. It screams in delight as the snake, almost ripped in half, can feel moments slipping away, and it has one moment, one chance to make things right, and it strikes, and it bites the hawk in the leg. The hawk screams again and starts to falter. The venom taking hold, slowly but surely, it starts to try to keep its wings beating, but it can't. And it collides into the earth in a plume. What would be a plume to these two animals of dust and dirt? As the dust settles and clears, we can see the snake ripped open, its entrails spilled out into the dirt. It looking, making eye contact with this hawk, twitching in the dirt, in the sand, trying to call out, trying to fly away, but not. And then the hawk makes eye contact with the snake. And for a moment, it seems like the snake is smiling as they both die.
Let's resolve our night phase scenes however you wish to settle them, starting with Marshall Harrington.
As a bit as that, El Paso is with mundane natures. It's not particularly helpful with the investigation. Still been a little bit better than it has been in previous weeks. But there is still some concern. You see that woman over there in the corner. She arrived at the jailhouse earlier today, looking for Mr. Graves. Now, I'm not sure where he has crawled on off to, probably underneath a rock or something. But still, it's concerning that more and more people are just coming to El Paso, hunting down whatever prey they may want.
Mother Ruth.
What was the question again?
Just how do you resolve your night?
Oh, days? Yeah. Going to go spend the night thinking about how that money could have gone to a better use, but going to try to push myself off of it because to think about things such of that nature is sin indeed. So best to move on from that.
And lastly, Arkansas.
We see Arkansas, who's a bit drunker at this point, and he's at the edge of the shantytown getting other people drunk with him, other just drifters and out of work cowpokes, and we see him talking, and he's telling him about this old gang of the coward Jim McKinley. What kind of gang would let that fella in? And somebody tells him something. He gets a clue that the keeper is going to provide, and then he just kind of like stumbles off into the approaching morning, not wanting to draw any unwanted attention.
Before the night ends for you, Arkansas, Blackheart Vermilion appears to you. She is visibly stressed and worked up. She says, "God damn it, Arkansas! Did I not teach you better than to be more aware of your surroundings and the people you're with? You could have been done in tonight. You fell into a trap just as easy as anything we've ever faced before. Have you really lost that much of an edge?"
It's really dark in there, all that smoke and stuff.
"Arkansas, the window is closing. We don't have time. Don't you understand? I asked you of this because I trusted you. We're about out of time."
He takes a big drink out of his canteen, and he said, he says, "I told you plenty of times. You got to watch who you trust. We got time. We got time." And he just stumbles off into the night.
And she just watches you go, her eyes desperate and pained. And that is our night phase. We're going to dole out the usual dawn phase XP, and then we're going to jump to Stars and Wishes, and we will call that a session. Let's answer dawn questions. Everybody answered a question, so you get that. I'm going to make sure that Graves gets one down, which will bring Graves to an advance, actually. So that'll be for B to get when they return. Mother Ruth, did you experience an echo in the night?
Not me personally.
Did you turn the other cheek?
I would say in a way, yes. Instead of giving Taggart what for, turned the other cheek and paid that money and, you know.
And then that also counts for your second one, I think, which is, did you decide not to give a damn turning your back on righteousness?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Very good. You take three. Marshall Harrington, did you experience an echo in the night?
Kind of. Talking about like how we are being pursued like prey.
Yeah. Did you abuse your badge to gain the upper hand?
Not really. I use Dr. Clarkson to like get what I want, but like that's not the badge.
Didn't use the badge, yeah. And did you deliver a cold monologue about the cruelty of justice?
No, right, not we'll really.
Take two experience. And Arkansas, did you experience an echo in the night?
I tried with a snake fighting the lizard.
I got it. That's fine. Yeah. Did you complain or brag about being hangover or drunk? Yes, you did.
The last time with yep. Mother Ruth.
And did you explain to someone how soft living has spoiled them? No.
I don't think I did. I tried to with Clarence Thibodeau, but I think it didn't come across that way.
Gotcha. And so Mark three. Very good. And next time we will pick up the rest of the Dawn phase, and let's jump to Stars and Wishes, everyone.
God. I think I'm just a little shell shocked about like all of that has happened this session. Of just like we're struggling with the certain things. Like we got some things resolved, but still like we're just like trying to fight for our life. Especially Arkansas this particular session. Like he's trying so hard and yet he can't get that far. Also like Alex, you're just so many wonderful like NPCs of just like you're able to like switch voices on the fly, so like you can have like multiple people in a single scene, and that is very, very impressive. Mother Calvo, still like the pragmatic person who is literally let's go investigate the corsets. Let's try to see if like it will react, and let's fuck around and find out. Just very good. Also, handing over the money to Taggart, that was really good as well.
I've got for Alex. I really like Clarence Thibodeau. That guy was greasy, and I hope we can keep him around. I also liked how Lady Antonio. I was like, does she have some kind of void presence against Del Sol? And your defined flagrant nightwear. I like that, and I like you bringing in the battlesnake, the rattlesnake. Unseen with the rattlesnake and the corset. Speaking of which, a star for Chaotic's expression when you said something was inside of the corset moving, and Chaotic was just like into it. So star for that. Star for Chaotic calling Lady Antonio. I think the quote is, "Let's see what this lady left." The Book of the Dead side quest. Star for Chaotic, and Wes getting Mother Ruth into the Red Rock Cantina and dance hall. Was a star for that, and a star for the holy water on the corset for a reaction, and just being neighborly with Taggart. He's not done anything to you, and wishes. I don't know. It's about to, yeah. I think we're gonna get this coward Jim McKinley by hook or by crook.
I want to give a star to the pacing, Alex. It was a really good pacing today. It felt like we got a lot done today, and I don't know if that's just because we don't have that wretched goblin Beanar here, or if it's just because it was just like a different vibe. But I feel like we got a lot done. That trying to get this taken care of with a -7, with a -1, and just being so close yet so I ugh, ah. God, and then like appropriate like reaction to that as well, Alex. And like Daniel, your instincts as Arkansas are great. I like how the situations that you set him up for and how you interact with those situations. It's very interesting to see how players interact with like, because like players really are the architects of their own consequences, and so it's like really interesting to see how they kind of interact with those consequences, and you do a really good job with that. I want to give big ups to Marshall Harrington. Nice little assemblage there, Marshall. Really beneficial, really helped us all out, so I really dig that. Shoot these people, sir, in your town that are beating up Arkansas McGee. I know it's not your fault. You didn't know Arkansas was going to go off by himself, but shoot these people. Shoot that coward Jim McKinley. Get your hands on him. I think I want to see more like I hate to put like the Deadwood comparison there of Sheriff Bullock, but I want to see more Marshall in from the Marshall. Like we're getting like a little bit, it's a different approach to a Marshall and everything like that, but like I don't know, man. I mean, you survived a bounty hunter encounter. You've survived quite a bit. I want to see some six guns go bang, you know? Let's I want you to start yeah, just God, just bang.
You just want Andrew Harrington to start blasting.
Yeah, start blasting. Fan the hammer, my guy. You know, like Put some spit in some spittoons. You know what I'm saying? That's all. That's that. But other than that, fantastic stuff. Really, really keep. I feel like I could have a beer with our marshal. That's good. That's good. I think that's what you want in a politician. I mean, a lawman. But yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, this was a really fun session. I want to star Wes. I really enjoyed your setup for this church that Mother Ruth now has for her congregation, the First El Paso Church of the Reformed. I am looking forward to seeing more of that as a place that you can go to and do things in. Really enjoyed Andrew's conversation with Lady Antonia, especially the what you were offering to that conversation, Chaotic, was really good. Especially sorry to all three of you. I like the demands you came up with for Lady Antonia's stipulations and all that. That was fun. I liked where you were going with that theory, Daniel. I liked even more that you were just like, nah, I want to kind of be wrong about this and react from there. That was good. I enjoyed that. I'm enjoying this kind of desperation. It's almost like you're making progress, but Arkansas is kind of just being a fuck up about it anyway. So it's like it's very dramatic and very interesting. And I felt like a little taste of that is coming through nicely. Also very well paced the way you all present the situations. Really liked Chaotic's opening speech. And I really am intrigued by Wes, you committing to the like, I'm gonna talk to Taggart. This is also very fun for you as a player, I'm sure, since this is a double front Taggart kind of situation. I will say, unlike the between, there are no stipulations against against Taggart being killed in El Paso. So keep that in mind. But I like that. I really enjoyed Ruth's perspective with the bribe of just being like, I could have done so much more with that, but put it out of mind and just get the job done. That's very interesting for her character. Overall, like, Ruth had some great interactions in the apartment doing the little ritual. That was a cool moment. Yeah, that was fun. Great time. I'm looking forward to having B back. I want to see kind of more of this ongoing side mystery with this book of dead names and where this is kind of going. I've been alluding to various things with Del Sol, and now that Lady Antonia's around, I definitely want to see more stuff with Graves kind of interacting with things in parallel. And I mean, just yeah, I kind of want to see more action. I want to see more danger. So I'm gonna get a new I'm gonna get a very action-packed a threat on the table for our third one, so we can have some proper rootin' tootin' cowboy shooting. Yeah. Any other stars or wishes?
I want Arkansas's custom move to be revealed.
So I should go harder on you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I just realized what I technically could do, but how, with like what with a thing I have my personal quarters, but I can't, but it wouldn't be thematic though. So like,
Interesting.
I'll tell you off recording.
It's interesting that you're saying what you can do because, Chaotic, as we all know, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So, just
With
keep that in
that,
mind. Checkmate.
I think that is the end of our session of Near Enough to Hell, a Ghost of El Paso story.
Checkmate, atheists.
God. All right, everyone. Wave goodbye, and we'll see you next time.